Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 104, part 2, Pride. Today is Sunday, July 5th, 2009.
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel alone like you've never felt before. Like a child who tries.
Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy AutoShip, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
Because a self-centered person is very sick. It is a sickness. They're self-centered. And they are sick. You can tell when that spirit comes on them. And actually is disguise. It actually is pride. The lips hang out. The face hangs out. The whole personality changes. Either they go into a slump or they get very, very angry. And it's all pride. They're not getting their own way, and they want to get their way by being sick or tired or sick and tired or mad. It's all pride. Bible says that God hates it. So does everybody else, really. I think I need to tell the folks listening, don't do this. Don't look at your sickness and surrender to your sickness for, let's say, attention. But look to Jesus, the Savior. A lot of wives use that. And the husband babies them through their whole life. They're sick, you know, and they got this medicine cabinet sitting out beside the table, and these husbands live with that. But the husband has a pride in being able to accomplish buying all these medicines. Well, my wife is sick, you know. She isn't feeling too. Oh, you're such a wonderful man taking care of that invalid wife of yours. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful man you are. Oh, you're such a beautiful person. Isn't that sick? You got to shock them back into life sometimes. I told some people in here, I said, well, now you go someplace else, you'll get Shakespeare. Come in here, you'll get Shakespeare. This doctor, he told his husband, he says, now your wife is confessing death all the time. Yeah, we need to make her good and angry. And so the husband and the doctor agreed. They said, well, let's go ahead with this plan that we have. He said, okay, the doctor says you're going to die, and I say that you're going to die, and you say that you're going to die. I guess we all agree with you now. But I just thought I'd tell you something before you go and get your blessings on. I'm going to marry the woman next door, the widow next door. Oh, no, you don't. She got up out of that rack in a hurry. She received something new, a new center and a new purpose. Whew. See, we have to be free from the symptoms, and there's a lot of symptoms preaching, too. I don't think you should even have them, do you? Huh? Should you have that? Well, that's just symptoms. I thought that was, when I first heard it, didn't know too much about anything about the Bible, and I thought, well, how stupid that is. There's a person that's suffering from something, they just call it a symptom. It's just a symptom. I think we should be free from the symptoms and unhampered by mental conflict, have a work, and be able to love someone outside of ourselves. Some people, they can't love other people, so they love Poopsie, a little dog about this big. Wherever they go, they got these little ribbons tied on their little ears, and they're kissing this dog. Because they can't give themselves over to another person. They'll give a little part of their self to a dog. I'm not saying someone outside of self, you know, isn't good, but that isn't the whole thing. That's only half a deliverance. You got to give yourself to God. To love someone and give yourself totally, I give my heart and soul to you. You got all these songs they sing all the time. And I give my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole thing, and even in marriages. And I give my all to you. Don't they have songs like that? I give my all to you. What a lie. Say amen. We are not going to give our all to anybody. And outside of giving our, the only one you can give your all to is God, because he's the only one that will take it. He's the only one that can take it. Isn't there a song like that? All of me. Oh, why not take all of me? Take my heart, because I want to lose it, and for good reason. Oh, you got to turn yourself over to the Lord, and you can always tell someone that has not turned themselves over to the Lord, because they're just all wrapped up in themselves. See, to really find yourself, you have to die to yourself, and you have to surrender to God. Because remember, without a surrender, there's no love. And don't the love songs all sing that too? Surrender this, and I surrender my love to you, and I surrender this, my bank book and everything to you, and you know. See, if you give your love to God, God knows what to do, that he cultivates it. You have to love yourself in God. Say amen, somebody. You cannot love yourself outside of God. How many have tried it? I have. Have you tried to love yourself outside of God? It doesn't work. It does not work. You're continually wondering why people don't love me. Why do they treat me this way? Why this and why that? And so on and so on and so on and so on. And you end up being miserable. It all ends up, and it comes right back to what I'm talking about here tonight, a pride. Because you see, if you love yourself outside of God, you poison yourself. You ever see somebody that's getting self-poisoned? Huh? Too much of a good thing? Do you ever see someone that self-poisons himself? Self-indulgences? How many hearing this? They indulge themselves. Number uno, they take care of self. You ever see somebody is saving for this or that, and they just, I mean, they'll do anything. We weren't born again, and I thought, I've got to save money, and I come to everything I could save money. I even cut cigarettes in half. This is way before I knew the Lord. How many are hearing this? And I did everything to save that almighty nickel. Self-indulgences, it's not giving yourself, it's saving for self. I've talked to people through my ministry that have these dreams all the time. And a lot of them come up with the same thing. It's always in the dream, it says, I'm number one. I'm the president, or I'm a race driver, or I'm a boxing champ, or I'm a rich dude. And I said, no, I don't believe a lot of times those are your dreams. They're probably your daydreams is what you mean. Or I'm a great lover. They go on and on. I say, no, those are your daydreams. You're most awake when you're dreaming those dreams. Because their self is revealed a lot of times. Now people have these hellish nightmares. It's just the getting out of their subconscious at night. It's all that pride and haughtiness of spirit and arrogance and so on like that. They live in sort of a perpetual conflict. They build up tension, and then their face says die, but their subconscious says adore yourself. And they're caught in between two gods. And they think to themselves, how can I get others to adore me without looking self-centered? They don't know what they're missing. I must be careful. They always misunderstand. They do. But really, What they really need is me. My advice, my charm, my wit, my humor, my understanding, my experience, my polish, my good works, my good looks, my know-how. But then how do you make them realize what they're missing? And the person talks to themselves. They're so jealous. They're so competing. They're so look at me. These are the conversations that pride has with oneself. And you usually find this person is running around in a great big circle, always finding themselves all the time and bumping into themselves. I thought today I was getting ready for this. I thought, who wins in a boxing match with himself? Or who wins in a wrestling match with himself? Nobody. Now you talk about all these things, and I must mention this because I have a lot of phone conversations with newly marrieds. There's only one thing worse than a self-lover, and that's two self-lovers living together. You won't realize how much you love you until you marries the other you, and then you have a couple of users. Boy, this girl said, when I get married, I know what I'll do for my man. Know how my mind races when people talk like that. All sort of comic situations rush through my head. And, you know, also the hard times. Oh, she went on, wives just don't know how to treat their men, she says. I know how I'll treat my man. I thought to myself, you know, everybody's an expert before they enter the ring. Before the bell sounds and the gloves fly and they have the bills and the car payments and the gas payment, the lights and the water and the phone and the rent, the repairs and the kids! And the mother-in-laws. The job pressures! And people interfering. May I suggest the way we finally did it? Well, I have a suggestion that'll work. You have to give yourself to God daily. Die daily. God doesn't receive a live, this is live, this is me, live! It's just like Saturday Night Live, it's gross. Paul, live! Spare us. But then they get married. It seems like the husband changes overnight. He's a tightwad. And they come in for the counseling later. He's a homebody. Becomes a slob. He becomes a boor. He's not so full of confidence now. Sits around sucking his thumb. The wife changes too. Hey, he says, she's got black roots. They complain like this. And her toenail polish is always chipped now. No makeup, all gray. She yaps all day on the phone. And you know, Pastor Paul, the kids can swing on the drapes like monkeys and empty every drawer, and she still stays on the phone. Oh, once in a while, she'll throw a pen at the kids. What's wrong? They need to get lost in God and forget about self. There's a song like that. Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him. This little boy, he was lost in this auto repair place. And they couldn't find him all day long. They looked and looked and looked and looked. Well, fine, I guess it was about 3.5, 4 hours they found the little guy. And it was this great, big, huge shop. Oh, the parents were upset with this little guy. And the next day, he was lost again, but he was lost at home. You know where they found him? They found him in a closet. He said, "What are you doing in the closet?" "Oh, I had so much fun being lost yesterday, I thought I'd get lost again today." And when I heard that story, I thought, praise God, why don't people do that? Just go get lost. I thought to myself, this is why people drink and they dope and commit adultery and go to movies, trying to get a vacation from themselves. It's the truth. They're so self-centered, they got to get a vacation from self. And so they got to do all these things to try to get away from self. Let's go here. Take self over here. Just try to forget about this voice inside. Ooh. Watch the movie. Let's go to the fireworks. Come on. Boom, bang, boom, boom. And they leave. All the wows are gone and everything is gone, and they're still with their miserable self that they have not given to God. And they got to keep running their self from one little enjoyment to the next little enjoyment, and they're never going to enjoy themselves until they give themselves to Jesus Christ totally. Never. How many have heard that? And they got to live in the fantasy of a movie or some true life magazine or true romance, whatever they call it, or detective stories or something. Did you ever see these people that read these little paperback and they read them by stat? You can go into their attics and they got rooms. They try to lose themselves. So they give their whole self to a book. Or they give themselves to this and they give themselves that. They do everything but give themselves to God. And they are miserable folks. And sometimes Christians that have given themselves over to the Lord leave that and they try to retrieve themselves and take themselves here and there. And there is nothing that will satisfy you like the Lord in doing the Lord's works and get lost in what God has sent you to do. And that's why we get into such a siege of backsliding. Say amen, somebody. That's why we get into these things of adultery and all these things. Because, well, self, what do you think? And we start asking advice from Adam. Adam is going to give you advice. He creaks open the coffin. "Thought you'd never ask me for my advice. I've been around a long, long time. Hey." How many are hearing this? I'm closing. A couple more points I'm going to make before I close. People right now are in the times of stress. 2 Timothy 3:2-5 says like this. "There will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligators, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of religion," it says, "but denying the power thereof." That's where it's at. Isn't that a stink? But where did it get started from? Listen, "For men will be lovers of self." That was the beginning. "There will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self." What happens when you start to love yourself again? You cannot satisfy yourself. You can take yourself to the beauty parlor, and you can give yourself one of these poodle jobs, and everybody says, oh, that's such a cute hairdo. Boy, that's such a cute hairdo. Wow, wow, do you ever, wow, wow is right. Do you ever look cute? Woo, wow, woo. And that wears off. So you try it another way, so somebody will have something else to say. Oh, I just love that straight look. Ooh, wow, ooh, uh-huh. And you take yourself here, and you take yourself there, and you try to beautify yourself, and you try to take yourself into this kind of exercise where they kill themselves. What do you call it? Aerobics? It's for apes. Say amen, somebody. That is not for the human body. It will soon fall apart doing that. Say amen, somebody. It's about the most vulgar thing I ever seen in my life. Say amen. It's a striptease right on TV. It's the truth. Instead of working for God, they're working on their body. Preserving self. Huh? Say amen. I'm talking to thousands of people. If you're included in that group, good. But how many are hearing this? Well, maybe they'll like me more if this is a new me. No, it's not a new me. It's just another cover-up. A lot of pride involved here. I'm not saying you have to go on looking like some kind of a hag. You should look nice for the Lord. But if you're end of your motive is making you look nice so when you go places, people will appreciate you on how you look and how you walk and how you act and how you think and how much fun you are. Oh, there's so much fun. And it all ends up in sort of a pride. What good is it? You go home and you're empty, the emptier than Tut's tomb. You can't satisfy yourself. How many have come to that conclusion? My God, I have. I put up my arms and legs and everything. By the way, I just got healed by preaching up here tonight again. I had a bulge in my side here. It's gone. That happened one other time. Everybody was saying, you know, you got a bulge on there, and I had this bulge, and I have to stop and give glory to God again. I did have a bulge in there. I had ripped something loose, and it was terrible painful and on this thing, and had people praying for me, you know, and I got up and I preached the word of God, and I had a hard time raising my arm like that, but I'm just telling the truth, there's no pain there at all. Praise the Lord. But isn't that a stink? That is the root of all evil, self-love. Because when you start to love yourself, you wonder how many others can join in loving you. Now, I know that maybe you didn't pick up on that. If you start to love yourself, you want other people to appreciate what you're doing. You want them to say, well, I love myself so much, and hey, here I am. Hey, look me over. You know. Huh? And then you end up in a sort of a self-worship. Now, preachers, that's a danger that you face. Self-love. I don't know how many people have asked me, what makes you run? When that was asked me some 13 years ago, I would have had a different answer than I have right now. My answer is, I am moved and motivated by the grace of God when I have given myself to God. And you do that daily, by the way. Because when self reigns, it breaks the law and ruins self. Rule is self-ruin. And it says, there will be times of stress, for men will be lovers of self. Because this will cause sort of an inward turmoil. I can feel myself when I'm getting into that. An inward turmoil. How many, there's warnings. How many know there's warnings? You get into inward turmoil. Sometimes we listen to them, sometimes we don't. There are warnings. Inward turmoil, inward turmoil, inward turmoil, and that light's going on and off, on and off, on and off. Something's wrong. When we start to get nasty in our thinking, don't like this person, don't like that person, you cannot satisfy me this way, or you don't do this, or you don't do that, or so on like that. I have those feelings, and I recognize they're not from God, and I say, drop dead. No way are you going to come back on me again. And right after I say that, I have a battle. It went on and said, holding a former religion by denying the power thereof. This is a type of religion. But if it has no power, it can't deliver you from you. I believe the church should have the power to deliver you from you. Then you can be delivered from this life of stress and strain and stretch and holler and belch and burp and self. Remember this in closing. You cannot go against the moral God or a moral universe. It will break you. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Isn't that a simple message? Right is right and wrong is wrong. That's the way the Lord says it, huh? You can argue and you can get mad and you can cause a fuss and all that, but God's morality will not change. Not with all the buts and ifs and becauses that you can invent. You got to end up surrendering and closing. Let me read Psalm 59 and 12. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride. What's that say? As they hope to take their victims, so let them be taken themselves. Listen to that verse again. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride. Their pride. As they hope to overcome their victims, so let them be taken themselves. Entangled, it says, and means in their own net. Arrested in the midst of their own security. See, pride is very secure. Sins of the lips. No, boy, let me tell you, those are real sins. Punishable ones. If your tongue leads someone else to hate or to mistrust, you will be punished according to your own mouth. That is to say, if you counsel someone and persuade someone to get into rebellion, and that person comes into rebellion, you are held accountable. Are you hearing this? Psalm 10 and 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. I think this is fitting for a close. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. God, it says in the Bible in the original Greek, will not hold back anything that you have in your imago. That what you put in your imagination and believe, so be it. And listen. Right now in our government, people that come into our state are given a one-way ticket home. Denied shelter. They will be, in the end times, chased out into the streets at 20 below. Right now we are educating people on abortion. And since I believe, since 1983 when they had this poverty awareness campaign, actually it was a political tool. Man's false love and concern have become quite evident. It's the end. the election is over and let's just go on with business and kick all these people out of the way and let's get... If they're going to abort all the babies, how are they going to take care of some bum on the street or somebody? Hey, there's no love outside of God. Let me tell you something. You whole lot of Christians listening to radio and tape right now, there is no concern for the poor, no concern for those that are out in the streets, and no concern for those that have no beds. No concern. You know why? There is so much self-love, I do not believe it. Self-love keeps people from doing things for others. Self-love. They love themselves. They love to sit and talk with others like themselves, and they don't want to get involved. When they do, it'll be for a period of a week or so, and then they just get all frumped out because it was just self coming down to do it, and you run out of steam. Say amen, somebody. That's the way it is. 1985. Watch this year and watch the next year and watch what's going to happen to people in these coming years now. Because self-love ran out. We're giving people a ticket, one-way ticket down the road. That's like giving a person a one-way ticket to hell and saying, get out of here, go to hell. That's what they're telling people. I just pray that God gets us into a position where we're able to meet the needs of these people. And that the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, becomes so dedicated to the cause of doing Jesus Christ's ministry that we will forget about ourselves and concentrate on what the Lord has sent us to do. And just get our eyes totally off of ourselves. And that's the only time you're going to have any joy, because listen, friends, you cannot satisfy yourself. You can't. How many know you cannot satisfy yourself? It cannot be done. My God, give it up. It's miserable. And how do you know all this? Because I minister what I know to be true about myself. Say amen. And I think it's time right now that we deal with this terrible, terrible thing, pride. When we give it over and we humble ourselves, and God will exalt, and God will lift up, and God then gets all the glory for great things he hath done. Think about it. In this little mission down here on the north side, and I boast surely in the Lord, because I don't want to lose the blessings of the Lord. Outside of the Lord's blessings, there is nothing. And when we get ourselves and put ourselves behind the self-love and the pride behind, think of the things God can do. And give you the real satisfaction, my God, to lose yourself and gain your life in the Lord. How many people need to learn that over and over, and we need to learn it daily. Deny yourself. Take up a cross daily and follow me. Jesus, I thank you for this message tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful healing that you worked upon my body. My God, a cause of concern to me, Lord, and you took care of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask for just two quick comments for the radio audience from someone in here tonight that might have seen themselves in this, and I did enough confessing here myself. But someone else, if you've seen yourself in this, it might help somebody else. Anybody? Huh? Well, I guess I'm all alone. A prideful wart. A blemish on all the... No, I know. I'm just talking. I know it's hard to sometimes say things, but how many have seen themselves in this message tonight? I surely did. Is there anyone that wants to make a comment? Somebody? Jim?
It was really weird. Like, something hit me tonight was when I was driving here to take the whole bus out. I was getting really anxious because I was kind of late, you know. And I don't know what it, you know, I don't understand it all, but it was really weird that, you know, I get behind people and I get all anxious. I get kind of mad at them sometimes, you know. Like, what, you get behind this guy, you know. He doesn't know what he's doing, you know. He can turn on a red light, you know. And all this, you know. And I thought, well, I can turn down the service road and get out there quicker, you know. And I didn't, you know. I just stayed behind this guy, and I had patience, you know. And then I started, when the light turned, I started going down that way, except on the main road. And I thought, yeah, well, there goes Jim trying to beat himself down the service road, you know. And I just thought, you know, how can you beat yourself? There's no way you can't win yourself. You know, it's just really weird. But it was, you know, the Lord brought that to my mind. So.
That's good. That's the Lord speaking to you while you're driving. Okay, anybody else? Anybody? Well, tonight's message was in tune for the whole, you know, Christian community. And if we just minister to within these walls, then we're just a group. You got to minister outside of the walls and the confines of your church and the church pews and whatever. And I hope tonight that we have done that.
So with your tears,